Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Well, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Right now we're getting a lot of feedback. Hopefully we'll get that fixed. Who is this that's sitting down? Introduce yourself.
It's a new guy.
It's been a while. It's Caleb Benenock. Glad to be back.
Welcome back to the show.
And your background, who are you and what brings you to the state of Florida?
I am an African gentleman. I played a little football back in the day. But yeah, man, I've been busy, been running around, and it's good to be back with you guys.
So do you get upset when you're called an African-American? Wife said that she has a friend that does.
I don't get upset. I just correct people. I just tell them I'm African. I'm an American citizen, but I'm African.
All right, so what's going on? We'll get right into this. Some controversy with the new middleweight champ. And refusing to say, and you know I'm not going to butcher his name, so I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
The dude from South Africa that I butchered his name.
Du Plessis.
There you go.
Drakus.
Where do you stand on all that?
So, you know, I think it's, one, Izzy's obviously very smart, right? He's picked all his fights. He doesn't want to fight Pereira again. So that, and Du Plessis did say, because he was talking trash before Kamaru lost his belt.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, they're not real African champs because he still lives in Africa. The belt hasn't been back to Africa. The belt went to, New Zealand and this other place and that other place, which isn't true because Kamara did take the belt to Africa on a visit. And I'm sure
Ngannou,
right? He stayed there for a while in Cameroon and trained there. But again, living in Nigeria, living in South America, two different things. And it's just interesting for me, a white guy, to be like, I'm the real African,
right?
Out of all the guys who were born there and stuff like that. So I think it's Izzy being smart and like not wanting another fight with Pereira. And kind of taking it on and being like, okay, I'll show this guy what's up. And he's fought everybody in the top five, I think, more than once. Some guys would be his third fight. So why not get some new blood?
All right. Well, first, I'll give you my opinion since neither one of you asked.
Okay.
You know, Chuckles over here continues to give me crap because he says I'm not from Philadelphia.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I was born in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So Israel was born there.
Yes.
So he is African.
He is African. It's Nigerian. He lived there for a while, too.
No, I'm saying you were born there.
Yes.
You are African. It 100%. Doesn't matter if you never go back.
Yes.
So I think, say his name again for me.
Du Plessis.
Yeah, like I said it right the first time, and then I butchered it, so I refused to do it. I understand what he's saying, but he's wrong.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Israel is African.
And it's smart, though.
He's going to get the fight.
Exactly.
Right?
Smart. Yeah. I like it.
I want to correct Israel right away.
Okay.
Okay, and I wanted to do it at the press conference, but you know I don't do these things.
Yeah.
I do it just on this show.
Yeah.
It's not over. The rivalry is not over because he's 1-1.
Yeah.
And he's 1-3
lifetime
in combat sports.
Right.
Right. Now, and again, we don't need to talk outside. He's 1-1, and everybody that's 1-1 in title fights and has won the title and lost has gotten the trilogy.
Yeah.
And I think we need to see it.
Do you think we need to see it right away? Do you think his next, so that'd be three straight fights with the same guy. Are people going to clamor to go watch that again?
Yeah. I think that's Israel.
I think so.
They're not coming to watch Alex. They're coming to watch Israel. I don't think it matters. Other than our South African.
Yeah.
I don't know who else he can fight that people are going to care anyway.
This is true. I mean,
Whittaker again?
Maybe Gastelum?
You know, honestly.
Coming off of a win.
Can I be honest? I watched these reaction videos of after the win, all the guys watching the fights. Every middleweight, other than Du Plessis, when their reaction videos looks depressed that Izzy won again. Because they know we can't do anything with this guy.
Right.
His game doesn't match up. He's superior as far as the way he fights and the way we fight. So they all want somebody new to have the belt so they can go fight them, you know? And so I want to see him fight Duplessis. And maybe if they do the Alex thing afterwards, or even maybe Khamzat, you know, will be interesting.
The only problem with waiting on Alex is if he loses, then it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only problem. That's why the boxing back in the day, they did have the automatic ones, because if Alex goes and fights somebody and loses, yeah, now do you want to see the trilogy?
I hope Alex goes to 205.
Well, I think he deserves another fight.
I hope he goes up. Because, again, like, when I start seeing guys doing their weigh-ins with the black curtains because they can't even wear pants because they need, like, every millipound or whatever you want to use the – I think it's like, hey, man, like, he does look drained from weight cuts. It does look like it's starting to get to a thing for him. He walks around at, what, 225, 230 usually?
Right.
To get down to 185 is tough. I want to see him move up. You know, I think that would be better for everyone.
Caleb's back, and I'm already arguing with him. I'm already – I want to see weigh-ins to be the day of the fight, personally.
Yeah.
Like wrestling-wise, Saturday morning, so all that can't happen.
Yeah.
But if you're going to allow it the day before, he's not breaking the law.
No, he's not.
You know, so I'm saying it's bad for him.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And, you know
– I don't think he wants to do it anymore. I don't think he wants to keep cutting weight like that.
Unless he fights Pierre again. Unless he fights Israel again.
Yeah.
You know, then he'd be willing to do it, you know, probably one more time. So I do have something that I have to voice and get this off my chest real quick. You know how we like to start the show with this. I don't necessarily want to get into the gun controversy.
Yeah.
But this bothers me. The AR-15 that was used in the mass shooting in Kentucky is up for auction.
Does that surprise you? Do you remember Zimmerman, George Zimmerman?
Yeah.
When he auctioned his gun off for a couple hundred grand after killing an unarmed teenager, Trayvon Martin?
Right. I'm just saying I'm against all that because, yeah, you know, there's lunatics that are going to buy this just because.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people went in, you know, Bundy and all them that they would seek out, you know, stuff.
So what was it, Ted Bundy's glasses sold for a couple hundred grand or something like that? Like, there's always those fanatics. And
it just bothered me.
It does.
Nothing
surprises me anymore. I guess I'll say that.
How about a grown adult taunting a little boy?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, is he? Like,
I loved it.
Yeah, because the kid started it.
You started it.
I'm not saying I'm against it.
Get what you deserve.
The kid was how old? Like, yeah, when it happened the first time, 5, 6 years old, and you go and lay possum next to him and taunt him. Now it's whatever it is. You're 10 years old now. I was like, hey, man, I remember when you, it was funny. Yeah. And the kid, I think what made it better was, you know, nobody wants to see their family gets knocked out, right? So his dad gets knocked out. The kid is crying.
Yeah.
And Israel's like, oh, you're sad now. You weren't sad the last couple of times when you guys were all talking trash and you were making videos and laughing at me and laughing at my Pikachu and you were doing all this stuff. So now it's your turn to get the.
I don't have a problem with it. And you know how I struggle with some trash I like and some trash I don't.
Yes.
And I didn't have a problem with that because he did start it.
Yes.
You know, now if he would have done it first, you know, the kid didn't do it 6 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be a different thing.
Correct.
No, you keep in receipts.
No, I love it. He's like, I didn't forget.
Yeah.
I remember.
He doesn't forget anything.
Nothing. No.
You know,
there's this thing going on in social media, right? Because Izzy walked in with the dog collar.
Right.
And if people didn't know, it's from a movie, Unleashed Jet Li. Really, really good movie. Right? That's where it's from. And
you're looking at me like I've seen it.
I know you have. That's what I'm telling you. The movie is called Unleashed by Jet Li. And in the movie, Jet Li is basically a kid who gets raised from a child into like some great fighter. And the guy who owns him, quote unquote, calls him a dog. And so he takes the collar off. When he takes the collar off, he just goes and beats everybody up. Right? There's this thing that everybody says, man, Israel Adesanya is so corny. And like everything he does is so cheesy. I'm like, that's just his personality. He likes anime. He likes those kind of fighting stuff. And so I kind of enjoy seeing the whole gamesmanship about it, and to go do that and go pull it off the way he did was pretty dope.
I liked that a whole lot more than I liked the Undertaker thing.
Really? I love the Undertaker.
Well, just that to me, well, you're a fighter. This isn't right now. It may become now that they're both owned by Endeavor and all that kind of stuff. And Dana slipped. I don't know if you saw this. Dana slipped on Saturday night.
Oh, he did?
Somebody asked him a question and he started to talk about it. And then Dana looks at his attorney and says, I should stop talking, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And they said, yes. He made a comment about stock. Now, he might not have said the word stock, but he was talking about that the WWE and the UFC will split. Now, if you're an investor, to me, that's saying buy some stock quickly.
Yeah.
In which one?
Are you not paying attention to what we're talking about?
Endeavor.
Yeah. Which I do have some
stock. I didn't know they were separate stocks. They're like, are they still separate?
He's saying that that's what he was talking about, that it will become separate.
Well, no, it will split means that when it gets to the subject of its value, they split the stocks and then they they divide them out.
Well, split
right?
means whatever split can mean.
No, they're not splitting the two entities.
Right. That the stock will split.
Right, right, right.
And so it
the
will
value
become,
will go up.
Right. So if you own one stock of Endeavor, it could split into
half and half,
you know. And I don't know, WWE is...
It's doing amazing. Yeah. Can we? I wasn't here for the last little while now.
We noticed. We noticed.
Can, we talk about can we talk about WrestleMania, how great that was? I don't know how much you guys talked about it. To do two nights, to put on the kind of show that they did, I enjoyed it.
No, for sure. For
sure. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And I could be wrong. It started after COVID. It was because they missed that 1 year. They thought this was a way to give it back. No, absolutely. I love it. But on the same line, it's the same thing as every Monday night show. The show is bigger.
Yes.
You know, it's massive. It's the fan fest. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of fought with myself. I like the Ray Dominic thing.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
It's again, some of the best stuff that WWE does is kind of really cheesy, but it's still good in the fact that, like, I think Triple H taking over that the creative.
That was my Bud Light.
Yeah.
whoa.
Triple H taking over creative has been so good for WWE just because of how they've built these storylines and the Dominic getting whipped with a belt on, you know, in the ring and, you know, hit. It's been great. I think it's been great.
We'll talk about it second segment. We have four conversations coming up.
Okay.
Three UFCs, Dustin Jacoby, Bill Algeo, Daniel Strauss, who fights next week down in Fort Lauderdale for BKFC. And I think he has some kind of Tampa Bay ties, Lando Venati. And we'll find that out. What?
Well, before you get off the WWE subject, Caleb, did you hear that they're trying to make it where you can bet on WWE?
Yes, I heard that.
We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapson.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Jim Palmer, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wade Boggs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament da Pizza.
And how about them, since speaking of Wade Boggs coming out of the break, how about those undefeated Rays? You're welcome very much, Tampa. I will take all the
first
credit.
First of all, I'm going to punch you right in the face.
All of it. I'm taking all the credit.
Yeah, because you chased Kiermaier out.
No, he got deported by the Rays, and then I bought the jersey, hung it up, and we're undefeated since I hung the jersey up.
Okay, first of all, there is no we.
I.
There is no we.
I kept us undefeated. I am the reason we are undefeated.
You are a complete moron.
If I take it down, people will freak out. There's a superstitious thing here.
You know how
athletes are with superstitions.
Yeah.
They don't break them.
So, hold on. Are you telling me that the Rays are going 162-0?
Unless I touch that jersey.
I'm taking it down.
If I take it, no, it's got to be me. I have the mojo.
You got more than the mojo.
What do they call it?
You got brain damage.
Well, I mean, it goes around. We get into football. We get into combat sports.
They're playing well.
They really are, and it hurts me to say.
And it's fun to see.
Can we talk about? I've been saying this. The changes in baseball.
Yeah, it's great.
Everyone is talking about how much more fun it is to go to games. I can leave the stadium earlier, 2 hours, two and a half hours. Yeah.
Awesome.
Game is over. We can watch it. We can enjoy it. I'm not sitting there for 4 or 5 hours trying to watch a game. People's attention spans are gone now. It's TikTok era, Instagram era,
videos. It's great that it takes longer to get across the bridge to watch the game and to get back than it does to, like, be at the game.
Well, not to everybody. Some people live in Sarasota and St. Pete and Clearwater and Pinellas Park and Largo.
I talked to one of my friends. He's a pitcher for the Phillies, funny enough.
Oh, nice.
Why is that funny?
Randy's second home.
You're a Phillies guy. He used to be with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, and he was very, skeptical about the changes because he's a pitcher. He's like, the pitch clock, he goes, I think it takes away from the game that we all grew up loving, and he's a lifetime baseballer, right? And he was skeptical. The same way we're skeptical about changes to the NFL, and when they say there's a rule change about hitting quarterbacks and stuff like that, but it betters the game for fans, and that's what we're seeing in baseball.
I don't have a problem. And again, I grew up on baseball.
Yeah.
I was bat boy for the St. Louis Cardinals. I played all the way up to high school. My brother played collegiate at Alabama. We were a baseball family. Religion was important to us until we were of age to play baseball. and I even said that at my dad's, funeral, that religion meant a lot to my dad. But Jews, it's Saturday. Well, so is Little League.
Yeah.
Guess what? Religion lost out because we played baseball. I'm okay with the pitch clock. As much as I think the larger base is stupid,
it's helpful.
It makes no sense. I'm okay with that.
More steals are happening.
I'm okay with it. Well, as long as somebody doesn't break Ricky Henderson's stolen base record because of larger bases, I'm okay. But you know me. When I find something that I find, I was going to say asinine, but Matt's still here, so it does continue. When you ban something that's part of the game that's legal. Baseball, 8 players are in fair territory. Uh-huh. So to ban the shift, to me, is asinine.
I know you hate it.
I hate it because it's just saying you're not good enough to learn how to switch, to the other field. To slap it. Tell me Wade Boggs wouldn't still kill it.
Listen, I agree with you, but I understand why they're making those changes.
Why?
Hey, more offense.
Maybe it would give the opportunity to more Wade Boggs type of players, that are left-handed and can hit to the left side. And you know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. That's the one that bothers me. Adapt.
Okay, how do you feel about this?
I don't like it.
Okay, I'll see this one.
Oh.
Because we talked about this before, but remember when they banned black players from playing? I think they should have an asterisk there, too.
Yeah, you put that on the thing. And first of all, I don't know what that is.
So wasn't the asinine?
The asterisk?
Yeah, there should be an asterisk.
There should be an asterisk.
Because the best players weren't allowed to play.
We weren't allowed to play.
They're genetically
superior.
You took
out half the athletes.
You know they're superior.
No, first of all, you're wrong.
I'm wrong.
You are 1,000% wrong.
How so?
You just said it took away half the athletes. It probably took away 80% of the athletes.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. You got all defensive at first.
I was like, how?
Right. I think that's different.
I think quarterbacks should be allowed to get hit. You're a football
Absolutely.
Player. Right? But I don't make those rules, and I know fans enjoy it because what do they want to see?
Points.
They want to see Mahomes. If Mahomes doesn't play, you're not watching the game.
Well, right. The whole thing, as we all know, it was changed because of Tom Brady.
Yes.
Yes, if it would happen to Mahomes now and it didn't happen to Brady, they would find, the same thing. I get it, and I'm okay with certain changes.
Yeah.
But again, there is such a thing as tradition, and, it's kind of like you know, records, and I don't remember who it just was. I think it was a hockey person. They made this big deal about the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. I think it was hockey and the Bruins. And he's like, well, you know, there's more games now.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody says a 1,000-yard, you know, season for a wide receiver is no big deal.
Right, because now it's a passing league.
Well, no, now it's 17 games.
But most guys are getting 1,000 yards before 17 games.
Well, I know they used to do it.
And even now, a lot of stats, they'll be like, well, he broke this stat in 16. Like, T.J. Watt broke the sack record. And they made a big deal about it. He did it in 16 games. So doesn't matter that, oh, there's 17 games now. He broke the record before. And
right.
I think people understand that stuff.
They may understand it, but when you look at a record book, you know, and we're talking about generations down, and you're going to compare, and it's different.
Marino, do 5,000 yards in what, 14 games?
Well, and
so nobody ever makes that point anymore.
Right.
And the perfect season was only 14 games in a season.
Exactly. But 72. Nobody makes that point anymore. They're just like, well, they were perfect. Even when the Patriots won 18-0,
right.
19-1,
right.
Nobody was like, well, they had a better record than the Dolphins. They're like, no, they didn't beat them. They weren't perfect. So it's just those things change. And after a while, when it gets past enough time, you kind of forget and just kind of like treat it for what it is.
So, well, I may forget this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't make it back here Sunday night at 7 o'clock, then I'm going to forget all this stuff.
Might as well just stay out there.
Well, it means I'm probably dead.
speaking of asterisks next to sporting competitions, how do you feel about transgender, you know, when men are fighting women in combat sports or competing in the Olympics?
Well, but the Fallon Fox thing has been discussed, you know, for years
nauseam,
now.
Yeah.
But I mean,
they banned the Olympics thing. Transgender women who are biological males are no longer allowed to compete in Olympic sports, like Olympic ranking sports.
Well, they did last year, the last Olympics.
I'm saying it's banned now. I saw it a couple months ago.
But there's asterisks next to those records, right? I mean,
I don't think those should count. I don't think it's fair.
The only reason, do you support transgender competing in female sports?
I don't. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah. What if you're allowed to bet on it? Can you bet on that?
Oh, dude, if
you can bet on WWE.
Come on, like Leah Thomas, like I would have been like, hey, man, this person's going to win.
No, you were correct the first time.
My house.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
You know what I'm saying?
But if you can bet on a scripted event like a WWE, why can't you bet on transgender competing against female athletes?
I think it taints women's sports. I think it taints the spirit of competition because it's not fair at the end of the day, right? It's not fair. There is a biological advantage, and I just think that there should be, if you want to go compete in sports, if you want to say, hey, I'm a trans woman, fine, go compete with your biological males. You can, nobody cares, right? Go compete with your biological males and go win there and say, I'm the first woman in the NFL. Cool. That's okay. But don't go and go play WNBA and then go be dunked. Imagine LeBron James.
You stole it from me.
He said something like that, and then he goes over there, and it's like, oh, this is the greatest. I'm like, we sound ridiculous right now.
No, everybody's always been on Michael Jordan about stand up. And so here, this is what I want LeBron James to do. I want him to do the right thing. I want LeBron James to what's it called?
Transition.
Mm-hmm. I want him to transition, and I want him to still play in the NBA. And then we'll shut up. Right?
Wearing a Duncan with a skirt on.
Hey, whatever.
if Jordan's shoes sell for $2.3 million,
what would his skirt sell for?
What would his skirt sell for?
To me, it's kind of like, it seems like just such common sense. You know, like some of these topics, some of these issues. I'm just like, dude, it's just like, we all know, right? If like when we talked about Dana, the thing with Dana White, when his wife slapped him, he slapped her back. Everybody was like, oh, Dana White's a wife beater. Nobody said that if I punch you, you punch me back. They're like, oh, this is just two guys doing it.
They wouldn't. I wouldn't allow them to say that. if I punched you and you punched me, it would be more than just two guys fought.
Why not?
White dude dead on the ground.
African dude shoots three arrows into a dead body.
You know, and that's what I said to one of the trainers when they brought up Greg Hardy. And they were talking about Greg Hardy, and they were talking about Matt Hughes when, you know, he had a situation too. And he said, does he get a pass because of the train accident? I said, I'm going to take it one step forward. If Greg Hardy punches me, it's the same as him punching a girl. I mean, I'm just saying.
True. No one's going to look at it that way.
There are levels to this stuff.
They'll tell you to man up.
There are levels to this stuff.
I just hope I can stand up. I don't about manning up, just standing up. All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, we're going to head out to Kansas City. Maybe get some good barbecue, and maybe talk to Dustin Jacoby, who gets back in the octagon this Saturday night. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, Monkey Boy. Yo, what's up? This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris. Diamond Dallas Page is going to make you feel the bang.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Skunk Ape Electronics is just amazing. Get connected through music with Skunk Ape Electronics. Custom boomboxes, veteran-owned and operated, and American-made. Go to skunkapeelectronics.com and change the way you listen to music. Get 10% off your first purchase when you sign up for our newsletter. Stop by any Knockout Radio broadcast and check out what they use from Skunk Ape Electronics. Amazing. Just amazing.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is the Giant. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we'll get back to talking more about wrestling and WrestleMania and what's going on with the new merch. And well, not, it's not even a merch. It's Endeavor purchasing the WWE. We'll talk more about that. But we're going to continue talking about this weekend. And I was planning on going to Kansas City, but you know those changed. On the phone with us right now, returning to the program, Dustin Jacoby. Welcome back, Dustin.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for having me.
We appreciate your time. How you doing? How's life been since last time we talked?
I'm doing great, man. Life's been good. We've been trucking in the UFC. Had a little hiccup in my last fight, a controversial decision loss to Khalil Roundtree, but I get an opportunity this weekend to get back in the win column.
And I always ask all of you guys this, what's fight week like for you? And do you try to change it up? Because it's basically the same thing. Media day on Wednesday, press conference on Thursday, weigh-ins on Friday. Do you try to mix it up, or do you try to just keep it consistent?
No, I keep it consistent, man. I like the old saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Fight week for me is pretty chill, relaxed. As I tell people, the hay's in the bar and the work's been done. And this week it's time to just kind of pull back a little bit, taper off, and get ready to get after it on Saturday night.
You know, my good friend Eve Edwards used to say all the time, all the hard work is done. The reward for everything that you've done the past 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, is Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's about turning the brain off, trusting in your preparation, trusting in the training that you put in, all the hard work that's went into this camp, and go out there and just let it flow. Have fun Saturday night, man. We work so hard to go out there and just not be our best and just be uptight. You know, Saturday night's to go out there and have some fun and show off all the hard work that we've been putting in for the last 12 weeks.
We are talking to Dustin Jacoby, getting back in the octagon this Saturday, ESPN 44, Saturday night. I tend to always ask this as well, because this is interesting to me. It's Wednesday, so fights in, what, 3.5 days, you know, with the it being Saturday night. Are you the type of guy that you want to try not to think about the job, the task, the enjoyment that's coming on Saturday? Or do you try to block it out and, you know, not think about it?
Well, you know, I definitely think about it. You know, it's on my mind a lot every day. You're thinking about the fight. But I try to, you know, earlier today I got out, I walked around. It's beautiful here in Kansas City. The sun's shining, and went to a couple shops, but, you know, did some shopping and just trying to be as normal as possible, man. Keep my mind off the fight and just enjoy the moment, enjoy the people that are around here. And, you know, I know that Saturday's coming. And, again, we've put so much hard work into it. You got to enjoy it.
It's going to come whether you think about it or not, right?
Yeah, 100%, man. You know, let the chips fall where they may. The work's been done. What's the result? You just got to forfeit the result and you know, don't worry about the outcome. Just go out there and give your best effort, and the chips will fall where they may.
So Dustin, we talk to athletes every week, week in, week out. As a professional athlete myself, I know how hard it is to cut weight during competition. I am a pro bodybuilder, natural, obviously. But your Instagram gave me a concept that I didn't think of up until now. We always talk about how most athletes watch the food channel while they're in this extreme weight cut and how they find satisfaction in watching food channel. But on your Instagram, your last post is about a tequila company. It looks like, so I think Bar Rescue should be on the menu now as far as like, how many like shows to watch, you know, the drinking and alcohol. And like, so, you know, do you fall into that? Do you watch those kind of things? Do you watch shows? Do you miss the bar and the nightlife when you're in a weight cut because you have to cut it out?
No, it's, you know, El Bandito is a sponsor of mine. It's a startup tequila company that supports the Hanyak, and I support them. So I make sure to get them out there on fight week. And I'm definitely looking forward to breaking out the Bandito on Saturday night and celebrating with my family and friends. But, you know, I haven't drank in a while, man. It's easy when you got your eyes on the prize and you're chasing a greater reward. And as far as the food goes, that's why I fight a light heavyweight. You know, I fought the majority of my career at middleweight, where I had a big weight cut, and fight week was pretty miserable, just putting all of my energy and focus into losing the weight. And now I fight a light heavyweight, where I'm a little closer to my natural weight, and I've only got about 10 pounds to lose, which may sound like a lot to the average person, but somebody that's watered up and dieted and prepared for it, it's going to be a simple weight cut. And I know once Saturday night I get that victory, we'll enjoy all the food and all the drinks that can come.
You know, you're talking about 10 pounds. That's nothing. Anybody who's listened to this show probably remembers when Johnny Hendricks was on, and it was obviously Wednesday, and he's like, yeah, I'm 24 over. I got plenty of time to lose it.
Yeah, exactly. I got a couple teammates right now are about like that, and that's how I was when I fought middleweight. And even then, the weight would come off easy. I'm just a better fighter at 205. And, yeah, man, 10 pounds is nothing. So it's just smooth sailing into Friday.
So we actually had that conversation before you came on in the last segment. Are you a fan, or would you be a fan of actually having the weigh-ins on the day of competition? Like
full wrestling?
To, you know, kind of change that weight advantage or those drastic weight cuts for advantage in competition?
Yeah, for me, it wouldn't be an issue because, like I said, I'm fighting at light heavyweight, 205. I went up a weight class, and, you know, I float right around there, you know, about 10, 12 pounds heavier than that. So if that was the case, I'd be all for it. I think, you know, if people fought closer to their natural walk-around weight, I think their performance would be better. I know I'm certainly a better fighter at light heavyweight as opposed to middleweight, and cutting all of that weight, man, it really drains you. It drains your energy. And I mean, I would be a fan for it if we fought the same day as we weighed in.
I agree with you 100%. Give me your opinion on your opponent.
Well, my opponent's an undefeated fighter. He's a tough Russian guy. You know, he really brings the fight. He's much shorter and a much shorter reach than me. But he's pretty quick, and he's got a lot of power. You know, I have to be focused for 15 minutes if that's what it calls for. And I have to just be in the zone the entire time. You know, you can't slip up one time with a guy like that that possesses so much power. But I feel comfortable in this matchup. I've got the experience edge over him. I'm a better striker, I believe. I'm a cleaner striker, and I think my cardio is going to be superior. So while I do have my hands full, there's no doubt in my mind I see my hands raised on Saturday night.
You mentioned the zero in his record. Is that something that you – obviously you noticed it right away, but another driving force, you know, for this fight on Saturday?
Absolutely. I'm looking to be the first guy to hand him a loss. You know, I've done that several times throughout my professional career. I fought guys 5-0 early on, 8-0 early on, and I took their zero away from them. So that's definitely a motivating factor in this fight. Nobody's been able to beat him yet, and I think I'll be the guy on Saturday night.
Are you a fighter that can watch a fight as a fan and not always, you know, it being work and always trying to pick things up?
Yeah, I enjoy the sport. I definitely watch it casually as a fan, and I appreciate the work that goes into it, and I always try to pick up different things from every fighter. You know, I don't just learn in the gym. I learn visually, and when I watch fights, even last week in the Adesanya Pereira fight, man, I was taking notes and just enjoying the greatness on that card and in that fight in particular, and a big MMA fan.
What would you grade Israel on the drop when he was kind of taunting Alex's son?
Well, you know, I don't know. He even said it himself. He's pretty petty, and he remembers little stuff like that, and I think that's something that was just motivating him. And while, you know, I don't think I would necessarily point out the kid and choose my battles with the kid, I mean, it's something that I think was driving him. It's something that, you know, going into that fight, he had that plan. There's no doubt in my mind he was visualizing knocking out Pereira and pointing to his kid and doing what he did. So, you know, everything's on the table when you're in there in the octagon, and he just had his time to give a little payback.
What's the biggest difference in the sport of mixed martial arts from your very first fight to leading up to this one on Saturday?
Well, there's so much, man. The sport's grown just so much over time. You know, there's a lot more eyes on it. It's much more mainstream. It used to be just seems like hillbilly-ish, you know, backyard brawls, and you know, you just weigh in. There'd always be, you know, the moms would be weighing in with the fighters. Their friends would be talking smack, and it's just grown so much, you know, to a mainstream and much more professional level. And I love to see where the sport's at today. It's only going to keep getting better. You know, when I first started, we were getting paid literally peanuts to compete. And, of course, the pay continues to go up. And, you know, I feel like I've kind of helped pave the way. I've been fighting professionally for 13 years. And it's cool to see where the sport, how far the sport's come. And then I know the next generation of athletes coming behind, they're going to have even better than me. So that's going to be cool to see.
The first after party that I attended was at UFC 11, which featured a cheese plate, Tank Abbott, two fans, and one media person.
Yeah, it's come a long way since then, huh?
It definitely has. In closing, Dustin, what can the fans expect to see when you get back in the octagon on Saturday?
Well, pure excitement, man. This fight's really special for me. I made my pro debut in St. Louis, Missouri. I kind of started up in the Midwest, and I've got a ton of family and friends coming. They'll be driving from Illinois, and I got friends and family coming from Colorado. And I think this place is going to be packed for the Hanyok Saturday night. And, you know, I'm going to be fighting my heart out. I'm going to use the energy that I get from those guys and on the walkout and just all week long, man. It's going to be an exciting fight, and there's no doubt in my mind I'm going to get my hands raised.
Awesome. Great stuff. Thank you for your time. Enjoy Saturday night. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from Ape Man Strong for coming on and talking to us, and have fun on Saturday.
Hey, I sure do appreciate you guys. I'm looking forward to rocking that gear. I always work out in the 8-Man Strong gear. It's good stuff, and we'll have to catch up after I get the victory.
Absolutely, and post some of those photos so I can see them, and then I'll reach out to Adam and make sure that the box is even bigger.
You got it, man. I will do.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Dustin Jacoby back in the octagon in Kansas City. Like I said, I was planning on going. This was...
Yeah.
Mike, you know, Billy Q is the co-main event.
Yeah.
Some great fights on it. But when we come back, we'll talk about my plans for this weekend. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello, this is Clyde the Glide Drexler from Houston, Texas, site of the 2004 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And I just want you to know that you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tony Hawk, and you're talking sports with Randy.
Tony's up there pretty high in the food chain of liners.
Really?
You know, maybe someday what we ought to do, A, is take some time and do some research. But,
okay.
But B, maybe do a show either from the studio where you go to the studio and make a list of all the liners.
Okay.
And then we can do like a tournament style.
Okay. And who's bigger? Who has more impact?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to say which one's better.
Well, obviously, he's the face of skateboarding, but nobody knows who Tony Hawk is.
There's a lot of people who know Tony Hawk.
But not many people.
But that's what we could judge. You know, like a Tony Hawk to...
he's like the same as the Flying Tomato. He's like the
Sean White.
But that guy has Olympic gold medals.
I believe Tony Hawk does too.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. The skateboarding. The X Games and all that kind of stuff.
That's not an Olympic sport.
Well, half of the sports in the Olympics are not Olympic sports.
What do you... Is curling an Olympic sport?
Yeah, absolutely. Curling's awesome. But, you know, where they do the ribbons...
You can't say yes based on if you like it or not.
Sure,
it's
I can.
It's not personal opinion.
It's my show. I can do whatever I want.
It's our show.
No,
it's based on...
We're not French.
Like, athleticism required. We just watched a bunch of guys hit a golf ball at the Masters this week. Is that a sport?
No, because you can drink beer and smoke cigarettes.
I mean, what if you have to dodge trees that fall down? What if you have to run away from danger?
Well, the worst part would be if you're not smart enough to dodge the tree.
Yeah, nobody got hit.
No, that's what I'm
nobody
saying.
Fell, but,
right, yeah.
But so, but no, it's like at what level do you consider a sport, you know, like where athleticism is required, like darts? Darts is not a physically demanding.
Can you drink beer and smoke cigarettes during the event?
Babe Ruth did it during baseball.
Keith Hernandez did it during baseball too.
I mean, so like all
he smoked
sports,
cigarettes.
All
I don't know about
sports could be done, I guess, while smoking.
Back when now, granted, it's the Cardinals, Anheuser-Busch, but back when I was bat boy for the Cardinals in A ball, the fines were always cases of beer.
Okay,
so that's
hopefully
what
it's Anheuser-Busch products.
Well, hopefully,
you would hope so.
Or Bud Light products.
See, there you go again with this Bud Light.
Well, Bud Light thinks this is funny as heck.
They love it.
Yeah, because people, morons, are going to the store to purchase Bud Light bottles or whatever to destroy them.
Yeah, they're making money on
you think,
yeah,
right, you think they right care?
Yeah, pouring them out in the street.
Yeah, it's like burning jerseys and all that kind of stuff. So it was, I wrote it down. I've already been texted a few times. Tony showed us it showed up on the TV that it's now official, by the way.
In August.
Jake Paul to fight Nate Diaz.
I like it. I like it. I think it's a closer fight than the Tommy Fury fight.
No.
Tommy Fury is a comes from a lineage of boxers, a real fighter.
I don't expect this to be very close.
No?
I really don't. I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, I like it. I like the matchup. I do. I think it's a great matchup.
It'll be fun. It'll be entertaining. You know they're both going to sell it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that's, and again, it goes back to, and I'm a hypocrite. I'll be the first person to tell you I'm a hypocrite. I love Jake Paul. I love the trash talking. I love all the stuff he's doing. Add in a Diaz, which really means you're adding in Diaz, and Jake Shields.
For sure.
You know, it's the three musketeers. You know they'll all be there. I may have to go to this.
Yeah. What would it be? Vegas problem?
No, probably not, but I don't care.
Dubai?
Did they already say a date?
I think it's August 4th.
Well, if it's Dubai, I'm not going.
Why?
Because I don't have the money to get to Dubai. It's a long swim.
Well, you got money to go to Colombia for a concert.
Well, first of all, I didn't get invited.
To Colombia?
Yeah, I didn't get invited.
Oh.
I invited myself. I said, I'm going. I pulled a meathead Matt.
Oh, I've done that.
I thought you do it every Wednesday.
I thought I was going to do it on Monday, but I didn't get the call.
You didn't? Yeah.
Thought we were going.
Well, there is no we in us.
I thought Ken Shamrock needed to see us.
I am flying short flight, you know, to Bogota. It's 4 hours.
That's great.
It's awesome. As long as I return.
Yeah, go a little risky, but
I don't. You know, again, you know, we'll see. I'm not going to look for trouble. We're not going to go out late at night. We're flying to Bogota, Colombia.
Is there anywhere you wouldn't fly in the world? Like, you know, being a U.S. citizen, you have
protection. Ukraine,
Russia, probably.
Well, I wouldn't go to Ukraine right now.
Well, yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Russia.
Because they captured an American journalist.
Then I'm not going.
So there,
because I am an American.
And you're a journalist.
And I am a journalist.
So you're next.
So, you know, that's how K-Dub gets out of it. He's not American. You know, so. Yeah, so I'm going to Bogota. We go down this weekend. We're flying in and flying out. It's Kiss. It's the Scorpions and a bunch of other bands. Deep Purple.
Okay.
Who they were just here.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, while you guys are doing that, we got Taylor Swift on deck and like crazy. Like
now you see why I'm flying to Bogota.
To get away from
Taylor Swift. Yeah, to get away from Taylor Swift.
From the T-Swift movement.
Yeah, exactly. Jewel, explain this to me. You know, the whatever that crap's called. The vape pen. I guess they're paying out even more money now to states. I don't get it.
It's a consumer product.
Exactly.
That people made choices to purchase.
Exactly.
To smoke. But they're saying it's because it was targeted for kids and that the flavors that they came up with are flavors that kids would be attracted to, such as cotton candy. And
what age kids are we talking about? 14? 16?
I don't know.
7?
I think it's anyone under the age of 18.
Okay. Well, first of all, if you're 18, if you're 17, if you're 16, if you're 15.
If you're able to drive a vehicle, a 3,000-pound killing machine at 16, you should be able to make a decision on if you're going to put something in your body.
18, 17, 16, 15 for sure. If a 15-year-old can be enticed to put crap in their body because it tastes like cotton candy, that's on you.
Yeah. I mean, how many things did we do at that age that were just dumb, right?
Back in the day. I don't remember that far back. But here's the flip side to the stupidity, and I will continue saying this. To say you have to be 21 to drink alcohol.
That's dumb.
To say you have to be 21 to smoke cigarettes.
To do anything.
Which I'm against cigarettes. But you can go in the military at 18.
Yeah.
You can die at
18. You can leave your life on the line.
But you can't do any of that other crap.
Correct. That's asinine. It's just dumb. You're mature enough to like lay your life on the line and write a blank check for everything up to and including your life for this country. But you can't have a beer in a bar.
You know what else is dumb? And I waited for Caleb. I guess his contract was X amount of words.
Oh, yeah. He ran out of words.
After he said his 12 words,
yeah,
he dropped his mic and walked out. Devin White, my younger brother's favorite player.
Okay. Number 45.
Wants $100 million. See, as soon as I started.
$100 million?
I guess the second hour, he's allowed to 12 more words.
Okay. Devin White wants $100 million.
Devin White wants $100 million. Yes. And it's okay to ask. You can ask for anything you want, but a stat, you know, we don't do stats here. But a stat showed out of the 81 linebackers of that position, guess where he ranked?
45.
Where do you think he ranked?
I'm going to say he's probably top 20.
74. 74 out of 81.
And what's the word? What are they grading?
I'd have to go back and look at
it. What is it, PFF? Is it?
And again, you can make up, you know, stats for anything, mm-hmm. You know, honestly, you know, it's like you see this guy batting right now is the best left-handed hitter to hit with a 1-2 count in the bottom of any inning that they're losing.
Yeah.
How do you make up this crap?
Yeah. I mean, man, so the Devin White thing, I've talked to people about this before recently because they, you know, he says he wants to trade from Tampa.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to pay him. Right. You got to look at it this way. He's won a Super Bowl early. He was a, top five draft pick. Mm-hmm. And maybe last year was a down year for him. I didn't pay close enough attention. But over the first however many years, he's been to a Pro Bowl. He's been an All-Pro selection. So he's kind of like a made man. Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, All-Pro. He wants that Fred Warner type money, right? And Fred Warner is unquestionably the best linebacker in the NFL. San Francisco, right? Mm-hmm. But Devin White's young.
He makes splash plays. I think overall, Levante David is a better down-to-down linebacker than he is, right? But Devin White makes splash plays. He gets sacks. So put all those things into consideration. I see where it can feel like on the market, this is what I'm going to get. And so if you guys don't want to pay me, trade me, somebody else will.
Well, I get all that, but to demand a trade, and from what I understand, and Jason Light's going to talk to the media tomorrow, they've said, we're not trading you.
Yeah.
You'll become a free agent. Depending on who is there, we'll franchise you, or we won't sign you.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think it's, yeah. I get it. Everybody has the right to demand what their worth is. But on the same line, and I know rookie contracts and all that stuff's built in, there's no place that you can demand to go. The team doesn't want to trade you.
Yeah.
And when you're a talent, they're not going to trade you.
Yeah.
You know, and when you then put that out, what are you going to get for them? You're not going to get equal value.
No, but it's to get some value than to get none.
No, I get it. No.
So if you get a third,
no,
it's better than him walking away in a year and you get nothing.
Depending
if you
on
franchise him, whether it's a year or not,
right, then you're
going to pay him
money. Right.
The top three in his position anyway. So
right.
You're going to be up in that echelon anyway.
Right.
And he's not a quarterback where guys demand, like, no, you got to give me the extra. He's going to get $30 million in a year.
I want to throw this out, and I know it looks like his head's getting ready to, you know, fly off, so he must have something to say. But, you know, people that are always upset when a player makes these demands, right? I mean, everybody is dumping on Devin White now, where everybody loved him. Mm-hmm. You know, this is it. Let's don't forget, Derrick Brooks held out.
Yeah.
But we forget that because everybody loves Derrick Brooks. You know, in time, it's kind of like what we were talking about before. He's just doing what you can do.
It's not, and people forget that even Derrick Brooks, as much as he was beloved, he got a black trash bag and he was released by Tampa. He didn't retire and walk off into the sunset. He didn't get the Ray Lewis treatment. Ray Lewis got to walk away, finish his contract out. Ed Reed got let go, right? Derrick Brooks got let go. Warren Sapp got let go. So it's all great and gravy when the
right.
team does it.
Right.
But when the players say, hey, I want this and this is my value, it's like, oh, he's a crappy person. No, he wants what he thinks he's worth. And whether or not he's worth that, that's not for you or I to say. He wants to get his money. He brought this team to the Super Bowl. You should be happy. Whatever he got drafted at, he played to that level of potential. He got a Super Bowl for this team. He was a key part of that defense, right? He was a key part of the defense being the top three at his first 4 years in the league. He had a top three defense every year. Todd Bowles helped a lot. He played well, and he wants to get compensated for his play, and I don't think you should hate on him for it. Whether the team wants to pay him or not, that's up to the team. And if he leaves, he leaves. But it's, you know.
So my question more about the stat side of it, you know, is if you're on a bad team, a team that doesn't have a good offense or not good and your defense spends more time on the field per game, your stats are going to be higher, right? I mean, shouldn't Devin's stats, because of the season the Bucs had last year, shouldn't he have better stats than number 74 at his position in the whole league?
That's why I'm asking what stats are. I have to see what stats are talking about. Like, you're talking about just grades?
Well, I don't know.
Or like, yeah, so it's like, is it just grades? Is it solo tackles? Is it sacks? Like, what exactly are the stats you're looking at? Because, again, I can see somebody, they can give me somebody's stats and be like, oh, this guy, it happens on D-line all the time, right? Oh, this guy has 12 sacks this year, 15 sacks. And I can watch his tape and be like, I think he's okay. And there could be a guy, and there could be a player on the same team who has 5 sacks, but I'm like, he's a much better player than the guy who has, you know,
right,
10 sacks because he thinks.
Well, and how many plays at the end of games are teams are behind, they're losing, they're just throwing balls, they're getting interceptions. Guys are racking up stats at the end of bad games.
And it means
nothing in the scope of the actual day, but when it comes to contract negotiation, they're getting, oh, he had 3 picks, he had 5 sacks, he had this and that.
Look at Tampa's season also in a whole, right? Tampa's season in a whole, defense looked worse than they did because the offense was getting 3 and out, not moving the ball, not getting first downs, not scoring points. So the offense is running 57, 62 plays a game, defense out there for 90 plays a game, right. They're exhausted, your stats are going to drop. When the Tampa defense was playing its best, Tom was moving the football, the team had Leonard Fournette, was playoff Lenny, they were running the ball well, they were completing it over to Gronk, and they were moving it, and they played complimentary football, everyone gets to shine. When the offense takes the step back that it did this past season, everyone else is going to look bad on defense too. And that's just kind of how football works, and that's how the game is. And so again, this always comes when it comes to contract. It's funny how, you know, the fans, and I understand fans of a team, you want your team to do well, you want to get the best players for cheap. That's not the reality of it anymore, right? And when the guy, it's time for him to kind of get his
Cummings, people want to turn on him. I think you should support guys wanting to get their money, right? Because Devin White was the best, like you said, he was the best thing right. in Tampa 2 years ago. He's on the side of the building.
Right. Right.
Raymond James. Now all of a sudden he's selfish and this, that, and the other. He won a Super Bowl. The guys want to win games. Donovan Smith took a pay cut. What happens? Gets released the next year, right? Takes a team-friendly deal. Like all these things happen, and nobody bats an eye when a guy wants to get his money. He's a bad guy. I don't think so.
Well, and I've talked about this numerous times. I know we only have about 30 seconds. It's a job.
Yes.
And that's what fans forget. They love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
And I've had some people say, you know, it's not the players, it's the team. The players, that's their job, just like your job is running the pizzeria.
No, my job is
my job is running
good.
Away from you.
No, that's
you
not know. Cardio, and stop doing it. Winky Wright runs away from me when he sees me, too. I tell him it's not cardio.
All right, let's go hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we are loaded down. Bill Algeo, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chris Sims from the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you're talking with Randy Harris, baby.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.